B-Pod Studios.
Schools other than Temple, because that's my school. But like, if there's splitting hairs here, I'll pull for another. Like, I'll be happier if they win as opposed to like a Duke or something like that, right? But when they lose, like, I'm almost happier. Like, does that make any sense? No.
Villanova.
Like, any other big fight. I don't want to just make it about Villanova, being that, I mean, they lost, and I wish them, I guess, luck and all that stuff, right? But does that make any sense? I feel like I it's a total contradictory in its own sentence, but I never, like, I never jump off the sofa with excitement when another Big Five school does well. But I'm like, oh, good for them. Well, when they lose, I'm like, Like, it's a weird thing. It's like having your cake and eating it, too.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of thing. Now, the only thing that makes this a little bit different from Villanova is that I do pull for Colin Gillespie, who also went to my high school.
He's your alma mater.
Yeah, he's a wood kid, you know? Mm-hmm. Lost states, by the way, not for nothing. But, like, I don't know. Does that make any sense to anybody else?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
A little
that
bit.
Works. Yeah. That's no problem.
I see where you're coming from.
Like, I believe in the, I believe in the brotherhood of the Big Five.
Apparently, it was cool.
But I don't relish in it.
Mm. Yeah, you're fraud.
Yeah, but no. With yesterday, you know,
I acknowledge my fraudness.
Okay,
but
as
it's
long
like,
as you acknowledge it,
like, yeah. I don't know. It's like it's hard to describe. Hmm. I'm happy if they win, but I'm a little happier when they lose.
Yeah, it's fun.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, yesterday, man, I bet on all the college and pro games. You know, and you know, some of them had multiple bets in there. But yeah, 26 bets in total yesterday, 17-9.
You had a good day, my friend.
Good day.
You had a good day.
Good day.
Yeah, guess what? Guess who's going to be bringing more cannoli to the Cooney household?
Ah, there
that's
going
to be Mr. Trey Thomas over there.
Either that or beers after work today.
And also with our pool that we did, you know.
Yeah.
Brackets right now. I'm in second place.
He's in second place.
Oh, that begs the question. Who's in first place?
In the office pool. How about that Matt Puma?
Oh.
Matt Puma.
He's our director of trafficking?
Yeah. Not, what?
He's our traffic coordinator.
Yeah, the way you said that.
It's a joke, Mike.
All the commercials that are trafficked together are illegal. 610-632-0975.
At least you got where I was going.
They're doing it willingly. 610-632-0975. We are looking at here 97.5 The Fanatic, WP at Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster to bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. On the line with us right now, we got Chris in Atlanta, who is at the Sixers game on Saturday night. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Natalie. I was at the game. I'm a transient from Philadelphia. Been in Atlanta.
Natalie could be listening. Sure. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm a transient in Atlanta. Been with the process since the beginning.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I was looking forward to this game. I sat on the floor, literally right next to the bench. Guys, a great group of guys we got, guys. I mean, as far as their personality, I got to interact with them. They were really nice and everything. But getting back to the game, since the process, we've been talking about the same exact thing. Even when we were close in those process days and games, turnovers. And that's exactly what I've seen in this game. And a lack of energy, pretty much what Jimmy Butler said, lack of energy. The boneheaded mistakes that championship teams don't make, we're making. And we kind of see it all the time. But, again, it was a fun atmosphere, very good game. And I definitely want to just give y'all a shout-out because me living in Atlanta and all the fans abroad, you guys definitely keep us connected to the city, connected to the team.
Oh, thanks, brother.
And I'm just waiting for you guys to one day have a contest for those people who don't live in the city that can't really score those good giveaways that y'all guys give out. Every so often, but
all right. Here's what we'll do. We'll somehow get I don't know, coupons or gift certificates to I forget the name of the Atlanta Braves bar that's all done up with Atlanta Braves, and you can go there.
Nothing Atlanta Braves.
No. But you go there wearing your Philly stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, definitely would do that, and I would take a picture and everything. Yeah. I am the anti-Atlanta everything because their fans are such a fickle base.
Yeah, man.
That's the good thing about the loss, that they were so over it and they're so fair weather that they weren't even taking it in. They were just like, oh, we won, and everybody went home. Well, you see, Philadelphia, I feel as though we engage the sport more. We're more in tune with the players and everything going on, from the coaching to the general management to the, you know, all operations of the team. And you guys definitely keep us connected. Thanks. I truly appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Chris. You know what? I'm gonna give you something here. It might be humble, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. I'm gonna give you a great big bag of my respect. How about that, Chris?
I appreciate that. I'll take that any day of the week. You keep me going throughout the workday down here.
All right, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Better give him a bag of something else while you're giving him that.
Thanks for the kind words, my friend. I appreciate it. I couldn't imagine living in a city like Atlanta where the number one football team is a college team. Like, not even just like not even number one team, but like the number, not even number one football team, excuse me. Number one team overall is a college team. It just happens to be the Georgia Bulldogs, right, the football, right. But a college team. I can't imagine that environment. I'm so pro geared that I can't imagine living in that world where that's the number one thing. Now, you played football in that type of environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was football or bust. It was Sentinels or not. Seminoles or not, or bust.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, Tallahassee, you know, small town, right? College town.
Yeah.
College town, man.
Not my scene.
Yeah.
Pro or bust for me. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Talking a lot of Sixers, talking a lot of Phillies all morning. A little bit NCAA tournament sprinkled in there. But last night in the NBA, a wild night. See the way the Raptors-Hornets game ended?
How about that?
Oh.
That was wild.
Did you see?
Imagine if the Sixers lost a game like that.
There was a guy, I forget what...
Brett Brown! Jeremy Lamb's making half-court shots!
Where's Brett Brown's half-court defense? There was a guy who took his mom to the game. I don't know if it was her first game or not, but obviously the Raptors fans, the game's in Toronto, and he filmed her. I forget what site it was. It might have been House of Highlights, I don't know. And he filmed her to watch her reaction to the Raptors winning her first game being there. And it was just speechless. And I was like,
happened?
I've been there when, you know, the opposing team has hit the game-winning home run or the game-winning shot or scored the game-winning goal. I mean, I was there in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final when Patrick Kane allegedly scored that goal.
So was I.
And I remember thinking, like, I never heard the Wells Fargo Center just all of a sudden go quiet. Like, it was just like, you know, the roar of the crowd and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden... nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me, because it was just a disbelief throughout the stands when Jeremy Lamb throws up that half-court jack out of nowhere and ends up beating the Raptors by 2 points with 3 seconds left on the clock. Like, it was unbelievable.
Have you ever done, real quick on that, Mark, on a place going silent? Because my best memory, Sixers playoffs in Chicago, 2012, minute 12 to go, whatever it was, Chicago's up about 14 points. I turned to the guy next to me who works for Chicago Paper, and I said, Sam, why is Derrick Rose still in the game? Boom. Oh, you hear him scream. And the place, Chicago Arena, whatever it's called, one of the loudest
United
places.
Center.
United Center. One of the loudest places I've ever been. Mark, you're exactly, like, that was worse than a pin drop. Have you ever been in a stadium where it was just rocking so bad and something happened and it was dead?
Yeah. I mean, we've had it happen when you go to Dallas, you know, when you go to New York, even if coming here, you know, where if something happens and it's like everybody just...
You remember anything specific, like an injury or...
Yeah.
He was too focused, Mark.
And then my memory is just a little messed up.
But I think you're fine. But so it was a crazy night. Celtics also lose to the Spurs. Kyrie Irving after the game says winning's hard, for those that didn't know that. Especially hard for the Sixers, unfortunately, on Saturday night. And that's what I want to get back into here, because we talked about this a little bit earlier. But who do you point at when you don't see a team being motivated? I think most people, like me, will look at the coach. Now, I am someone that does single out players before I single out a coach. Like Ben Simmons, for instance, when I look at the series last year against the Celtics, Ben Simmons having a one-point game, come on now. Now, looking at this game against the Hawks, it did look like a lethargic team. It looked like a team that noticed that in the early rounds, if this was a boxing match, knew that the other team was going to be getting their punches in. They knew they were going to get their shots in. And the Sixers went into quicksand mode, it felt like. And they continued to have the same reoccurring problem that they seem to have had all single year, which is not being able to switch off of picks and defense and not being able to call out screens. Simple communication. But even above that normal problem, they seem like, again, they look like a team coming up out of quicksand, or at least fighting to come out of quicksand. Ben Simmons talked about the team's energy or lack thereof in the game. Here he is postgame.
I think just energy. I think lack of energy. It's one of those games where you know this team's not going to, you know, obviously be in the playoffs, but know, it's still a young team. They're still going to play hard. And much respect to them.
I don't know what Brett's supposed to do here, but you always want a coach to be able to light a fire. And I know it's not high school where you get them all in the locker room and you give them some rah-rah speech, and next thing you know, they come out at halftime and they blow out the team scoring 40 points in the third end and fourth quarter to finish out the game. Like, I know that's not going to happen, but at what point can a coach, or how can a coach, pull his players aside when they're not getting the message amongst themselves that they need to step up their game a little bit? They need to step up the energy.
I think he's going to, I mean, he's probably already trying that. You know, he's already I don't think that Brett Brown is just coming in and, hey, guys, all right, we're going to just get ready and go play the game. All right, let's go. You know, I'm pretty sure he's trying to get these guys fired up. But at some point, you know, the coaching part of it has to stop and the players have to take ownership of that. And you need someone to kind of be that fiery guy within the locker room to get everybody going.
Well, here's Brett after the game also talking about what he was trying to make sense of with his team in this game.
I think it's a little of both. You know, the game at stages was bizarre to me. Really, some of the turnovers in the fourth period were head scratching, and I think some of that, I think some of the defensive lapses we had in the first half were head scratching, and then you put it into the melting pot of them, you know, being playing good basketball, and they had some offensive firepower to sort of punish those areas that I just mentioned, and we couldn't overcome it in the end.
The turnovers to me, I mean, when he talks about head scratching, when he talks about bizarre, I look at the two turnovers in late in the fourth quarter by Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him control the basketball at the top of the key many times before, back guys down, get to the hole and all that stuff. But in this game, it wasn't there for him. It was lost in this game. And you saw, I mean, you talk about, you know, being you know, lack of energy and things being bizarre and all that. Joel Embiid seemed lazy with the basketball in this game. And that's what I saw from him. I don't know if I'm alone there, but I didn't see the same, like, authoritative Joel Embiid that I certainly saw against the Celtics that was playing like he had a point to prove.
Yeah, it was a lethargic game, to say the least. He never got that feeling of, okay, here comes a burst, here it comes, here it comes. You never got that feeling, and most of it came from the defensive end, where if you thought things were going better offensively, they were negated because defensively you didn't do much of anything.
Yeah. Well, that even kind of goes back to what even Jimmy Butler was saying. It was like, look, we show up and just act like we're going to go out there and just dominate players, and it doesn't. This is something that is going to have to be corrected in this locker room. This is something that you're going to have whoever your leader is on that team, because it's going to have to be what I think is it has to be somebody that's already been within that locker room. Not, you know, everybody's looking at Jimmy Butler. I think it's going to have to be either Embiid or Ben Simmons to step up and be that vocal leader within that group of guys. And it can't be just mouth service. It's going to have to be how you produce on the court as well.
Yeah, well, so you're saying it can't be Jimmy Butler? Or you're saying that it can't be Jimmy Butler as long as Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or maybe even J.J. Redick is here and they're saying the same thing?
It can be Jimmy Butler, but you need somebody that's homegrown within that locker room. Jimmy Butler
established here,
evolve into that person next year. He's already had a year under his belt with these guys like Tobias. He's just gotten here. Yeah. So you don't expect him to come in and just, all right, I'm going to lead you guys, follow me. You need your MBs. You need your Ben Simmons to be that guy. And also, it can't just be lip service. It's going to be how you produce, how you come to practice, how you push in practice, how you're doing the little extra things that's in the watching the extra film. How are you producing on the court? It can't just be lip service.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Tobias Harris isn't pulling any punch. I mean, Jimmy Butler, we heard him already talk about this team not being able to just show up and win and all that stuff, which is always damning. But Tobias Harris, who's been here obviously shorter than Jimmy Butler has been here, didn't pull any punches after the game either. Listen to this.
Just we're too lazy all night defensively. Lazy with our communication. Lazy with our coverages and second half us. I mean, we were stepped slow all game. Rushed their pace. Yeah, I mean, that's where it starts, and I think where it ends right there.
If you're Brett Brown, if you're the head coach of any team, and you hear a player talk about his teammates, him and his teammates, being lazy, how do you respond to that as a coach? The only thing I see them doing is tonight against Orlando, they blow them out of the water. And I know that we talked about the line earlier, heavily favoring the Magic. But if you're a head coach, you got to demand from your team that they put forth max effort tonight, especially against a team like Orlando that you should be able to take it to. It's time. It's message time.
You know what? Forget how Brett Brown responds to it. How are his other teammates going to respond to it? How are you guys that you go out there and you go to war with, how are they going to respond to once somebody that's out there said, you know what, we played lazy? But then how is that even being said when you guys meet as a yeah. unit? Are you going to say that amongst your guys?
It wouldn't surprise me if Brett got in front of that group and said, this is from Jimmy Butler. And blah, 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 lazy, whatever. This is from Tobias. Blah, 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 blah. This is what he said. This is from, like, that would not surprise me. And he looks up and he says, look, guys, you're all saying it. You all think it. Go out there and change uh-huh. it. I that's kind of, you know, from who used to be an insider, but now an outsider looking at it. That's kind of the way I think Brett would handle it. Like, putting it right out there on the guys. Like, look, you're all saying it about yourselves. Yourselves are the ones that are going to have to be the ones that change this.
Look, I know they say that they don't read the, you know, they don't listen to the radio, they don't read the papers, they don't look at the websites and all that other stuff, they don't follow Twitter. They're all doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Eagles won a Super Bowl based off the underdog story. They were paying attention to something, right? Mm-hmm. Pro athletes do pay attention to that, Trey. You're the very rare exception to that. God bless you. But when you look at these guys right now, it shouldn't have to come from the media. It shouldn't have to come from, you know, quotes in papers or stories or anything like that. It should come from Jimmy Butler saying it in the locker room. I mean, are you going to get something out? I mean, Trey, even, let's say you did read a quote. Are you going to get something out of that, or are you going to get something more from a player coming up and talking to you?
I think you get more from the player coming up and talking to you, but then that's the thing. Do you have the relationship or the rapport with these guys that you can go in there and say something like that to them?
Look, Jimmy Butler looks like a guy who has been here forever. You see him clowning around with T.J. McConnell before games. You see him having fun with the teammates and all that stuff in the locker room when they're singing country music. We saw the video a couple of weeks ago. Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic are obviously good friends. Mm-hmm. They seem like they've blended in here already.
Yeah, but having fun with somebody and being critical of someone is totally different.
Well, it at least shows that you're comfortable with that person.
Nah, you can have fun with anybody, but then when you got to sit up there and critique something
really?
And tell them, hey, man, you need to tighten up or whatever, and where you can just be honest with that player, that's a little different.
Hey, you can't coast into these playoffs. I mean, if they think that they're just settled in this number three spot and, you know, you ride out the remaining nine games, way stranger things have happened when it's a 2.5 game lead. Like, you better start taking care of business. And look, we're not jumping off the deep end over one loss in Atlanta. We've said that enough. Mm. But it's the particulars of the game
yes.
that keep coming back and
yeah.
coming back and coming back, which are concerning, especially when you relate them to, as you said earlier, Mark, the Boston Celtics, the Toronto Raptors, and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
If you ask one of them, someone on that team, who do you think they would say the leader on the team is?
Jimmy Butler.
Just right out of the gate.
Yep.
So without Jimmy Butler there, then who's the leader?
As much as I want it to
that's
be
a great question.
Yeah, as much as I want it to be Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, I think they try to do more of the leading by example instead of
so
setting
really
the tone.
You have no leader then?
Well, I mean, they do, but in terms of core group that's going to be around here a long time?
Core group. I would think JJ, as a veteran of the NBA and having the playoff experience, is looked at maybe as one of those, as a model by example type of guy, but it's a good question.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Because I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's Jimmy.
Yeah, when I'm in the locker room, the guys aren't around in the locker room all that much, and talking to the guys that are there every day, they don't come into the locker room all that much when the media is allowed in for the half hour before game time. Does that mean like they're not talking to each other? Of course not. It means they're gathered somewhere else. So and I've been down there the last few weeks. I haven't seen it firsthand what it's like down there. I don't know. From what I've heard, yeah, Jimmy Butler is kind of the looked up to leader. Mm-hmm. But Trey, you make a great point. After that, I don't know. You know, like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I just don't know.
This is a totally different dynamic because you only have, 10, 11, 13
yeah, exactly,
guys. So
yeah.
that's different because, I mean, you need to have that one major voice for all five of the guys that's going to be out there on the court at the same time. But for us, we always, you had your different segment leaders, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So which made it a little different. But to me, I just really feel like, man, when Embiid goes ahead and he steps into that role and he starts becoming accountable and being that person where, you know, it's not only, hey, watch what I can do, hey, jokey joke, but then now you start holding everybody accountable and putting in the work, then now you'll start to see that whole team kind of trying to change up a little bit.
All right, well, let's go back to the Chicago loss. A couple of weeks ago, they were in Chicago. Remember, LaVine went nuts in that game. I think he had 39 points, whatever he had. He had a great game against the Sixers. Remember, they drew up that play that didn't work for him at the end of the game? And who was the guy that supposedly was yelling, we better draw up a play that works this time?
That was Jimmy Butler.
That was Jimmy Butler. Yeah. That's the one guy that I think is comfortable enough with saying anything that he feels like saying. Because he has seniority in the league, obviously. Not on the team, but seniority in the league. Players look up to him as a leader, as a veteran. And a guy like Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, who I want to see take over that role, I don't know if they're ready to do that. JoJo's great for on the court, getting the guys going, all this stuff, trying to get the crowd into it to get the energy going and all that. Or if it's even not, if it's not at home, if it's somewhere else, he's trying to egg the crowd on and get that energy going again. But as far as in the locker room, the only guy that I really see stepping up and saying anything is Jimmy Butler.
Well, then that's why it's going to take a year. It's going to take a year for Butler to kind of get that rapport with him, because I don't know. I don't know if he would just go ahead and check one of them right there on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the dynamics, and I'm not going to pretend to, but yeah, you do need that. There's no question what Trey is saying. Maybe it could be Zaire Smith who you're begging for, Mark. Maybe he could be that new leader.
I was just going to say.
He appeared in 11 games for the Blue Coats this season, finished up during the weekend. He averaged 7.2 points, 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists in 22.6 minutes.
Yes.
All right, so you want him to be thrown into the fire. There's your boy.
Fire. Please.
Free Shake Milton.
Here's the... No, I actually... Bob, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I did?
Here's what you do.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you right now, here's what you do. Throw him into that little fire you're calling it. Maybe you send a message to some of these guys. Laziness will not be tolerated. Mm. Here's a guy looking to make his bones in the NBA. He wants some minutes. How about that?
So you think a rookie is going to cure this?
Damn right I do.
All right.
Now, that's a little bit of a stretch. But in all seriousness, I would play him. No. For many reasons, no. I'd play him. The number one reason is just let him know what he's going to have to work on going into the offseason, get his feet wet a little bit, dip that toe in the water, and then you know what you got to work on as you go into your next NBA season. And maybe, just maybe, he shows you a little something defensively where maybe you're telling some of these guys, hey, you don't hustle? You want to be lazy? You're not going to like your minutes. It's a poll of Peter LaViolette. You're not going to like your ice time. Mm-hmm. First shift starts with you. No shifts in basketball. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, hey, by the way, Brett Brown makes his substitutions. Actually, it's kind of like a line change. So maybe it does apply.
Maybe periods. Hockey analogies. All right. Yeah, he calls it periods. Very good.
Yeah, he does call it periods, yes. Which is still the only thing that people want to fire Brett Brown. It's the only thing that makes me go on your bandwagon is the whole periods versus quarters thing. They're quarters, damn it. Metric system, whatever. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We got Lewis and Pensauga wants to talk about the leaders on the Sixers. We got you after that, 610-632-0975. Coming up, if you haven't heard this story yet, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Lou Williams, I remember just the first part of the story. I don't remember the second part of the story. They told this during the broadcast of the Clippers game last night, but Lou Williams, while he was here in Philadelphia, had something crazy happen to him. We'll get into that coming up in a second. Let you know if it happened to any of us. Trey, you missed out on this earlier, but we'll get you involved in this to see if it ever happened to you, because what happened to Lou Williams is absolutely bonkers. 610-632-0975. We got Lewis and Pensauga, and then you. Time at the Fanatic, 923.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, Trey, you ever have a hip pointer injury?
No.
I think I have one.
Oh, my God. I knew he was going to do this. You go to a guy that played 181 games for the Eagles, ask him if he had the injury, he says no, and then you I got one the other day.
Hey, Bob. It's your time.
You
condescending
go,
SOB.
What happened?
How about this?
You okay?
Let me ask you this, Trey. How many games you played for the Harlem Globetrotters?
None.
Exactly. I rest my case.
Yeah.
Rest my case.
And you played one consecutive game.
I played one consecutive game off the bench.
So you got injured in that game and it's still bothering you?
It was a couple weeks ago. I doubt it was that.
Oh, okay.
My hip hurts.
How do you think you did it?
I think I probably fallen out of the bathtub. No, I'm just kidding. Getting out of the shower like I'm 1,000 years old, broke my hip. I don't know. Just hurts. Bothers me right now.
You don't remember hitting it or anything?
Nothing.
Hmm.
I was cleaning out my closet because we're moving. We finally settled on the house I'd been talking about, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So finally, we were looking for houses for like 30 days. And my wife fell in love with this place and whatever. I'm happy she's happy. So anyway, we have this house now. And I'm cleaning out our current apartment because we're getting ready for the move and all that stuff. And unfortunately, we got a couple of months to get ready for this. And I was like,
moving's the best.
Yeah, I was just moving some stuff. And ever since then, like my hip hurts.
Welcome to your mid to late 30s, Mark.
This sucks. This sucks. It only gets better from here, right? Meanwhile, I'll have like a conversation with my 97-year-old Uncle Frank that's like, ship shape, good to go, still goes golfing.
Quit being a little punk.
Yeah, he said, no, you were right.
You were going to say,
I caught myself.
You know, here's the great thing about that generation. No matter what happens to us, like millennials, whatever happens to us, they're like, I was in the Battle of the Bulge. Don't tell me about your little hip injury. I was in Bastogne. That's pretty much how that conversation goes.
Yeah, my grandfather was in the Bataan Death March. I can't really complain about anything.
Like, no matter what, that's what they'll bring up.
Yeah.
Like, and my mom is a product of that generation. Like, she was raised by that generation.
Yeah.
Like, my mom, like, at birthdays, I'll never forget this. Like, before you open, like, the big gift at the birthday, my mom would always be like, remember, some kids don't have gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, thanks, Mom. Now I appreciate it.
Now I feel so awful about getting my gift.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be happy.
Yes, stop being happy.
And then if you're like mundane, it's, what's wrong with you? You don't appreciate anything.
Any ounce of happiness I felt as a child did not come with a big old heaping gallon of guilt drenched all over it. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Lou Williams about his ridiculous experience. Lewis in Pensauken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, good morning.
Yo.
You're talking about the lack of the leadership of the Sixers, and I could not put my finger on why we are not as good as we could be, and that's it. It's the reason why, people don't understand. In the NBA, the reason why young teams do not win championships is because, one, their games have to mature, and two, they have to mature as leaders. The two best players on this team have only really had Ben has a year and a half experience, and Joel has 2.5 years of experience. So that's the reason why people always want to talk about Brett Brown. In the NBA, it's the team leaders that will drive this team to a championship, not the coach. It's only in college where the coach is the voice. The coach is the ultimate leader of the team.
Uh-huh.
Not in the NBA. We don't. And so, what happens is Joel needs to defer to Jimmy Butler as him being the leader at this particular time, as he allows Joel to grow into that role. He has to defer to him right now because there can only be one alpha. I never forget Gilbert Arenas said this on a podcast. There's only one alpha in every locker room.
Uh-huh.
Don't get it twisted. You got guys that are alphas, quote unquote alphas. Their personalities are, but there's only one in the NBA locker room.
Lewis, I don't know if I want to praise Gilbert Arenas' locker room leadership.
I don't know if that's
the guy I want to point to.
No, but you have to understand, I don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. What he said was correct. He was saying that KD is the best player on the Golden State Warriors. Curry is the most important player.
Uh-huh.
But Draymond Green is the alpha of that team.
Uh-huh.
And when KD challenged the alpha of that team, it disrupted the chemistry of the team. Because
okay.
He is the voice of that team.
Draymond Green
is not the best player, but he's the alpha.
All right, no, I hear you. And I agree that those guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons need to develop into that role. But once they develop their own skill set and all that stuff. But I just always felt like leaders were born. They weren't created over time. Like, I feel like you're a born leader or you're not.
I had more than a couple of players come up to me during the process, veterans that the Sixers brought in to be the leader. And Brett Brown labeled them, he's here for his leadership. I've had more than a couple of them say, I'm not that guy. Like, right. I'm looking out for myself. Like, not in a selfish way, but, like, I need to make it in this league. I'll do whatever I can to help this team win. But I'm not the guy that comes in here and says, yo, rookie, this is what you do. He's like, that's not my personality. That happened to me more than a couple of times. So you can't just bestow leadership on someone. Mm-hmm. And, Trey, you can talk about this better than anybody.
Yeah, you have to grow into it. It's something that you have to grow into. It's something that you have to want to do. But being a leader also, too, now puts that spotlight on you. If you're going to be the guy that's going to be that rah-rah guy, then all right, then. What are you doing when, you know, when it comes to practice, when it comes to accountability on the court, when it comes to all that other stuff? Because then now, you know, you're going to have to be that type of person as well, you know, and make better decisions. That's you're going to have to start it, when you step into that role. Now you're making decisions that's putting the team first. And let's just take that All-Star game appearance and then missing eight games. That wasn't putting the team first.
Was AI a leader?
No.
No.
I think he was the antithesis of what a leader
but
is.
But if you give, like, energy and hustle and that stuff, maybe there's a little bit of leadership to take from that, like style of play, lead by kind of example. But you can't tell me a guy that's, you know,
Mailed in a practice?
Yeah. You can't tell me he's the leader of the team. Michael Jordan would literally fight his own teammates if they weren't giving him enough in practice. Right. I'm not saying that's right, but Allen Iverson's looking to get through the practice, whereas
if he was looking to make it a practice at all.
A true great champion is looking to make his team better in practice.
See, I remember multiple times with Iverson when he was on the court for games and all that stuff, the camera would catch him saying, you know, let's go black, you know, if the Sixers were in their black Sixers jerseys, right? He'd be rooting them on, he'd be high-fiving them, all that stuff, and he would try to get that going. But everything off the court was like, yeah, I don't know about that.
And that's where leadership really is. I mean, in play is your natural element as an athlete. That's where you're gonna encourage your teammates. You'd be a sociopath if you didn't.
Yeah.
But it's the off the court stuff where it's not natural and you have to learn and you have to lead. And Iverson wasn't that.
Yeah, I think the reaction to Iverson was more so, oh my God, how does this guy come here
and do this
half hour before the game after I know he was out late last night, and you know, whatever it may be, how does he do this? It wasn't, wow, I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a leader is. Okay. I want to be like him.
Yeah, that I agree with. Now, here's what's interesting. A guy that played with Iverson and was drafted out of high school, Lou Williams, right? Louis Williams, as we knew him, while he was here in Philadelphia.
Multiple girlfriends, by the way, Lou Williams.
I'm sorry, what?
I swear to God, I knew this was coming.
They're aware of each other. He has two girlfriends. Or maybe even two fiancés. I'm not sure. Maybe not fiancés, but they're definitely two girlfriends. He's gone to, like, Dodger games with both of them. They're aware of one another. Lou Williams is a pimp.
Well,
just a little Lou Williams.
Just because his girlfriends are open-minded does not make him a pimp.
No, I mean, like, that's
the proverbial
to be
sense
able to pull, not a pimp that, you know.
Understood.
To be able to pull off two girlfriends, you got to be smooth as hell.
Yes.
And probably very rich.
All right, well, good. Well, good for him. Good for him also.
That's impressive.
Yes, of course it's impressive.
Lou Williams, fun fact for
what
you.
What am I going to do? He's the leading scorer in NBA history off the bench, too.
That's a fun fact as well.
Yes.
Well, he's the leading scorer. End of sentence.
That's why I said two.
But as well. So here's what you got. Lou Williams, while he was in Philadelphia, I vaguely remember this story, but I definitely don't remember the second half of this story. The Clippers broadcast yesterday highlighted something from Lou Williams' past while he was here in Philly. Take a listen.
One of the stories about him, this was back when he was with the Sixers in 2011. He's driving his car in Philadelphia on Christmas Eve. He stopped at a light, and a gunman comes up to rob him, knocks on the window, ready to rob him. And Williams talked him out of it, and part of him talking him out of it was he told him who he was. And the gunman apparently said to him, yeah, you do a lot for this community, and decided not to hold him up. Williams then had him get in the car, and he took him to McDonald's and had a nice long chat with him about life.
Do you remember the second half of that?
Yeah, I heard about it.
I vaguely remember the first half, but the second half I don't remember about the McDonald's trip.
Yeah.
Bob, do you remember that as part of the story?
Apparently I wrote the story. I just Googled it, and here's how the story starts. Here's how the story starts.
Apparently I wrote the story.
Listen, ghostwriter!
What did you think of the story Lou Williams told Bob Cooney of Philly.com the other night? Williams says he had a gun pulled him by a would-be robber who, upon recognizing him, who he reconsidered robbing him because of the guard's community work. I can vouch for Williams' community work, but this is the other guy. In my story, I wrote, a guy, Williams told me, a guy tried to rob me but decided not to because of whatever I do in the community. He's a Lou Williams fan, so he didn't rob me. There was a there's crime everywhere. I was debating whether to pull off or help the guy. The gun was already out. He did all the talking and came up with a solution. Before I could really say much, I treated him to McDonald's. So apparently I wrote this story.
You can get all you want on this kid's meal right here. You know, you get you some apple slices and, you know.
A Happy Meal?
Yeah.
That Happy Meal gets
Make sure you give him a good toy.
On the streets. That gets some good value. If you got him a Beanie Baby, forget about it. You're going to college all of a sudden.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Bob, are you rereading your own story?
Well, it's somebody reacting to my story, wondering if they believe what I was told. Now, in my defense, I didn't write the story. I wrote what Lou Williams told me.
Right.
So,
Well, that's a story.
Do you think it was the McDonald's where ODB got arrested?
But
because that was a Philadelphia McDonald's.
Well, was it really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Fun fact for you.
Yeah, he got arrested in South Philly McDonald's. Somebody dimed him out. He had a warrant out for his arrest.
I'll picture in Center City McDonald's.
We'll have to get to the bottom of that. Come on, Bob, you wrote the story.
Dick, I'm reading it now. I'm reading the story that I wrote. Yeah, it was a little sidebar. It was in Manayunk.
The ODB one was 29th and Grace
Christmas
Ferry.
Eve.
So they're not the same. No shame.
Womp, womp. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we will revisit the Battle Royale today. Well, it's just two people, so it's not a Royale. When you look at Joel Embiid versus Rob Gronkowski, if you had to switch with one of them right now, who would it be? 610-632-0975. And also a mind-blowing stat when it comes to Aaron Nola, as highlighted by Scott Lauber. Talked about it earlier today. We'll get back into it in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So the opening day for the Phillies is going to be Thursday, as we've known for quite some time. A little bit of a bang-bang type of day. Phillies, followed by Sixers that night against the Nets. If the season ended today, two of the Sixers would face in the first round of the playoffs would be the Brooklyn Nets. A little guard play. It bothers you just a little
Not
bit.
Not the easiest first round matchup.
No. Bad matchup for the Sixers anytime you got a guard that can play some basketball. Just look at Trae Young. Saturday night. But listen to this. So Aaron Nola hopes to start off that season and that day for Phillies fans with a win. But how about this? And I was reading this over the weekend. Scott Lauber, and we talked about this in the 7 o'clock hour, put out a stat about Aaron Nola that was mind-blowing. A lot of the analytics geeks will talk to you about the third time through the lineup. That's really the measure of a starting pitcher's, you know, whether or not they're good or bad is really the third time through the lineup. Wouldn't you know it? Aaron Nola, first time through the lineup, opposing hitters are hitting .216 against him. Third time through the lineup, opposing hitters .194 against him. That is an insane drop off. He gets the better of hitters as the game goes on.
That is insane,
and he improves against those hitters. Now, in Lauber's article, he talks about how he makes his adjustments between every at bat against another hitter. Every plate appearance against another hitter, he changes his approach to keep them guessing even more so. Like, you would be worried about overthinking a situation? No. Not Aaron Nola when he got nasty stuff going for you, as he did all throughout last season. And if you remember, the reason he was pulled out of the first game of the season last year after 68 pitches was because Gabe Kapler didn't want him facing Atlanta hitters a third time through the lineup.
It's all about load management.
I guess that had a little something to play with it as well. But Sam, go ahead and give us an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, if you had to switch places with one right now, who would it be, Joel Embiid or Rob Gronkowski? We have just over 2,500 votes today. split right down the middle, still 50-50.
Probably the most perfect question we've ever asked in Twitter poll.
We're even split in studio because, Mark, it's just me and you out of this five, but then Andrew Souchunas is also Joel Embiid with
us. Listen to this.
So it's 3-3.
At least half of us know what we're talking about in some way. Let's get Scott.
I agree.
Scott and Barrington, what's up, brother?
Brother Mark, Brother Trey, Brother Cooley, what's going on, fellas?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
Good, good. That Lou Williams story, but I'm going to start off with the Sixers. I think I hate to say it, they're kind of maybe like their own worst, like, downfall. I mean, because you can do all the practicing with defense, but you got a lot of veterans on this team, and they should be able to tighten up their defense. How you fellas feel about that?
I feel like it shouldn't take more, like, the example that I know Jamie has pointed out a lot is you talk about just having a pickup game amongst strangers.
Right.
Strangers will say screen, switch, stay,
go.
Like, these are professional NBA athletes.
Absolutely.
That don't even have the communication down.
I just can't figure it out. To say my brother Mark hit the nail on the coffin, I can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out. But
neither can they.
I guess... But I guess these tougher teams in the play. Like you said, Brother Mark, the Nets. What's that little pesky Nat do? Dunwoody or I can't believe. Always dead. That's why I said you're hitting the nail on the coffin. The Brooklyn Nets, he scores like what was 40, 50 points on it. So that, they definitely got to work on
it,
that.
It might be the nail in the coffin, Scott, for the Sixers season.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say it, but you're true. And with the Lou Williams story, fellas, once again, take one call. Be safe and God bless you out there. I lived in Georgia. Young guy I was working with the car wash at Snellville, Georgia. That's Lou Williams. I might have overdid it. I said, hey, Lou, what's going on? I'm spit shy in the tire. Everything look all right? Yeah, he called his lady out. I think he'll give me a tip. The sucker drove off and never tipped me.
Lou Williams?
I call him everything from, if I ever beat him, I'm like, man, you owe me a Sixer, Drew. You owe me a, and just pull right on off. I said, well, I'm on the radio right now.
Yeah, no. Well, he's got two girlfriends, man. He don't have any money.
No.
He's spending it on the ladies, my friend. Sky, I'm sorry that happened, brother. That sucks, man.
Yeah, that sucks.
Sometimes things happen, though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But now, for the record, I wasn't saying the Sixers' nail is in the coffin already for the season, but what could drive the nail into the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, could be their lack of ability to play defense. It just could be. Can't switch. Come on.
Guard plays pretty important come playoffs.
You heard it here first from Jamie Lynch right
hot
there.
Hot take.
Breaking.
Guards decide playoffs.
Speaking of takes and piping hot takes, let's get our takeaways of the day in here. Sam Wilson, start us off here. What is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that me, you, and Andrew are right on the poll question because Trey, Bob, and Jamie are all biased because they all have the same love of the same number with Gronk, and that's why they chose him.
That's very nice.
Nice.
Very
nice.
And what's that number?
69.
There you go.
That's right.
Jamie, what's your takeaway today?
Aside from Gronk not retiring on June 9th, I think he dropped the ball there. Sixers line tonight looks a little light. I don't want to say I'm nervous about it, but I would expect maybe somebody to miss the game and really hope we don't have to do that show tomorrow.
What is the line?
-2.
Googly. That's not a good one.
I really hope they win.
That's Markel Fultz will be on the bench, though?
In his Mickey Mouse ears.
Motivation. Bob Cooney, take away the day.
Yeah, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and mine apparently has been, as I was the one who wrote the Lou Williams story and did not even remember it. That of course it was December 26, 2011.
There we go.
Oh, well.
You read that tonight and then let us know
I just
how
read
you
it.
Did.
Perfect story.
Perfect story.
Aces.
Trey Thomas, take away the day.
Man, I'm second place right now with 51 points in the poll, you know. I know it's Monday, but come on Friday.
In the bracket. In this station bracket.
Yeah, station bracket.
Yes, run by
second place. My takeaway today is that Lou Williams, not just a great scorer off the bench, but in life as well. Two girlfriends. Good for you there, Lou Williams. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.